good afternoon. This is Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald Review, dated January 10, 2017. We'll begin today's reading with an article of local interest on the first page. The headline is, Northgate Pet Clinic Expands Drug Trials for Animals. And it was written by Allison Petty. Even with his racing days long gone, Andy, the greyhound, loves to stretch his legs. Paul Butler of Macon finds his six-year-old rescue dog to be an excellent running partner around his home. But all that time outdoors also means it's extra important that Andy take a heartworm preventive, which he received from Northgate Pet Clinic for free during a clinical trial of a new medication. Butler and his wife, Julia, are among hundreds of pet owners whose animals have undergone clinical trials at the pet hospital, which is now expanding its space to accommodate more studies. Quote, we kind of like it because we get cheaper medicine and extra appointments, Butler said, adding that he never questioned whether his dog was in danger. Quote, I'd never do anything to hurt old Andy. The studies are typically commissioned by pharmaceutical companies, but can also be sponsored by pet food companies or animal foundations, said Elaine Cripe, Northgate's study coordinator. The focus of the drug trials varies widely. Current studies include animals with the following conditions: heartworm prevention, dog arthritis, dental postoperative pain, roundworms, atopic dermatitis, and dogs with certain kinds of bladder stones. Associate veterinarian Teresa Schecker said none of the more than 1,000 animals involved in Northgate's studies has died, but she stresses that despite close monitoring and precautions, death, kidney, and liver problems remain a possible worst-case scenario. Quote, every drug has a risk, Schecker said. We mitigate the risks as best we can, and we try to inform the owners as best we can. Pet owners can remove their animals from the trials for any reason, she said. Animals that display signs of distress can be rescued from the trial and treated. Northgate began participating in clinical trials in 2010. Said owner Larry Baker. But offers began pouring in after 2011, when Baker was one of four veterinarians nationwide involved in the successful trial of a drug called Deramax. Baker is now renovating the space behind Northgate, formerly occupied by the Humane Society of Decatur and Macon County, to serve as a home for future studies. The building provides a room for animals that have to be monitored overnight, an area to enter their data simultaneously into a computer during exams, and a spot for the study monitors who fly in from all over the country to train the staff for each study and ensure it is conducted correctly. Quote, these are almost all studies that have already been done in the lab, Baker said, or previously tested elsewhere. Quote, like this heartworm study we're on right now, there's already been 3 million dogs that have had the drug in other countries. The longest study conducted at Northgate ran for 605 days, the shortest for 2 weeks, Cripe said. And there are some offers the clinic has turned down. Quote, we want to avoid any studies which would compromise a patient's health. I think we've done that well, Baker said. In fact, anymore, I doubt if there are any studies that really compromise a patient's health. In some smaller studies, every pet receives the drug being tested. In others, some dogs get the drug and others get a placebo. Even the veterinarians don't find out which. When it's important that an animal receive treatment, such as with heartworm prevention, then some dogs get the drug being tested and others get a different approved drug. So why participate in these trials? For one, there's a cost benefit: free medicine, free visits, and sometimes compensation for the owners, depending on the study. The clinic is also compensated for its time and staff. In some cases, the drug being tested turns out to be very effective. Deramax, which the clinic received so much recognition for testing, is now widely prescribed for arthritis, Baker said. But Schecker, who placed several of her own animals in clinical trials before she began working at Northgate in June, readily admits that not every trial appears to yield results, and there have been occasional bad reactions, usually lethargy or vomiting. Kripe said pet owners can also feel some moral gains. Quote, "You still get the satisfaction of knowing that you're helping advance science and potentially helping future pets." Northgate is positioned well to conduct clinical trials because of its large staff, 7 veterinarians, and diverse client base of 6,000 animals. Staff can approach the owners of pets who might qualify. They also sometimes send out emails seeking participants. Chris and Dave Wary had no issues enrolling their English bulldog, Ozzy, in a study for arthritis. They know Schecker through her volunteer work with the Decatur-based Illinois English Bulldog Rescue. "I knew Ozzy had some arthritis issues, so I just talked to her if they had any studies. We were willing to take part in those studies," Wary said. "I trusted her judgment." Ozzy didn't experience any adverse effects from the trial drug, she said. At the end of the study, he began taking a different medication, Deramax. I'll describe some of the photos with this story. One shows Andy, a 6-year-old greyhound, looking straight at the camera with a very soulful look. Andy is black and has a gold collar. Another shows Larry Baker, who's the owner of Northgate, holding a dog, one of those short, fuzzy-haired, sweet-looking dogs. And another shows Ozzy, an English bulldog, walking around the clinic. He's actually in the new clinic, which is expected to be open for use later this month. Finally, there are photos showing a blueprint map and tools lying around as they complete this maintenance. And Bud Kripe is pictured there also as a maintenance supervisor. Alan Dodge is putting the finishing touches on the entrance sign at the Northgate Pet Clinic's new clinical trials facility. So it sounds like they're going to be up and going any day now. On page 3, we find an article written by Justin Kahn, headlined "Translating Health Coverage at St. Mary's." The Affordable Care Act has forced the previously uninsured to find coverage, but in order to use the insurance marketplace at healthcare.gov, there are 2 languages users need to speak. Quote, "Internet and insurance ease," said Kim Luce, HSHS Central Illinois Divisional Director of Community Outreach. "For those who struggle with either of those languages, HSHS is offering to help with sign-up." Quote, "For those people, this is a lifeline," Luce said. "Signing up for insurance isn't easy, and not everyone is internet savvy. There are people signing up who have never had insurance. Even for people who have had insurance their whole life, it can be like a foreign language." Open enrollment for affordable care is between November 1st and January 31st. There were sign-up days at St. Mary's Hospital in November and December, and another on Monday. There will be two more opportunities, January 28th and 29th. So anyone needing help can call Megan Novak, St. Mary's Patient Advocate, at 464-2187 to set up an appointment. Quote, we have certified application counselors through Cardin Outreach who can assist someone one-on-one with enrolling through the exchange, Ruth said. Quote, and we have financial counselors through Cardin Outreach on site full-time. On Monday, many people trickled in during the 9 hours the counselors were available. Lou said the number of attendees has gradually increased since the first event in 2015. Lou said anyone who comes in won't be rushed out. Quote, we have people who will sit with you for 30 minutes, 90 minutes. I think our longest has been 3 hours, Lou said. Quote, they're going to answer all your questions and get you all the information you need. They can't offer guidance on which plan to choose, but they go through each one of the plans and tell you what your coverage will entail. One woman who showed up to enroll and chose not to talk to a reporter found out she was already covered by Medicaid. Luce said it's common at the sign-up events for people to come in and not realize they're under Medicaid. Quote, but just figuring out what you're eligible for is a good first step, he said. They don't have a deadline and have to enroll with a completely different process. Luce said people also come in who are stunned by the price rises this year. Quote, we've seen an increase in premiums this year, some up to 42%, Lou said. It's making a lot of people sit up, take notice, and wonder if they can afford it. But the counselors we have will work with you to see if you qualify for any of the assistance available to help with the monthly premiums. Also on page 3, there is an article by Valerie Wells entitled Culbertson Waller Performing Arts Center to be dedicated on Saturday. In a H&R story from 1989 by the late Bob Falstrom, in praising the MacArthur High School music program and its director, Falstrom wrote, quote, of course the Jim Culbertson tradition is to excel. And indeed it was. Over the course of his career, the Culbertson-led jazz band won Downbeat Jazz Magazine Awards 38 times. His students placed first or second in almost every competition they entered from 1978 on. The band won Best in Country 4 times, Best Combo twice, and made 5 trips to Europe for concert tours. Students have gone on to professional music careers as performers, writers, and band directors at schools and colleges nationwide. Culbertson retired in 2005, but agreed to continue as a sub until 2011. Tim Waller is as legendary for his drama, writing, and literature classes. Himself a product of Decatur's public schools, Waller is often thought of as, quote, the drama coach, who directed the speech team, debate club, children's theater, and more than 100 high school productions. The MacArthur Drama Club won awards from Illinois High School Association Theater Festival, including Showcase 8 times and Full-Length Play 5 times. And his students have also gone on to professional careers in television, theater, and fine arts. Both men will be honored at 1 p.m. Saturday, January 14th at MacArthur, when the auditorium will be named for them. The Culbertson Waller Performing Arts Fund has also been established in their honor to support and enhance opportunities for students and faculty in music, speech, and drama at the school. Quote, It mirrors Kistler Scott Fund for Performing Arts at Eisenhower High School, said Zach Shields, executive director of the Decatur Public Schools Foundation, which will oversee the fund. Quote, the dollars are meant specifically for the school's arts program. It supports arts activities, theater, dance, choral arts as they go forward with their needs. Staging a show can cost quite a bit, and this fund will be meant to do things like pay for licensing on an as-needed basis. The Kistler Scott Fund has amassed about $8,000 in September when it was established. The Culbertson Waller Fund will kick off at the dedication on Saturday. Donations may be sent to Decatur Public Schools Foundation, 101 West Sarah Gorder Street, Decatur 62523, or online at dps61.org/foundation. Designate the donation to the Culbertson Waller Fund in the memo line of your check or in the customer note section online. Committee co-chair Kathy Thompson said the response from alumni was stupendously positive when she started organizing the event and called the two men, quote, perfect examples of what a teacher is, a person who changes the course of a young person's life, gives hope for the future, builds self-confidence, and produces productive and responsible individuals. The program will include guest performances and accolades from former students. We turn now to the local briefs column for today, January 11th. This one is about the school candidate slate. Three Decatur Board of Education candidates will run as a slate. Kendall Briscoe, Beth Creighton, and Beth Nolan have named their unit PLUS, which stands for Parents in Leadership for Us. Four seats are open in the April election, and two of the incumbents are not running for re-election. All three women came from Decatur's public schools, and all have children in the district's schools. One reason for banding together, said Briscoe, is their disappointment in the January 5th work session of the current board, when the superintendent search firm of Hazard, Young, Attia and Associates spent a portion of the time discussing the board's role and responsibilities. Quote, witnessing the current board participating in a basic exercise about their role was very disappointing, Creighton said. The next paragraph is about a jewelry store robbery. Police are seeking the public's help to catch an armed robber who held up a Decatur jewelry store Saturday afternoon. Reports said the robber entered E. Ryan Jewelers, 2525 North Water Street, at 2:10 p.m. and threatened staff with a silver semi-automatic handgun before grabbing jewelry from the counter and fleeing the store. The suspect is described as a white man, 5'9" tall, 175 pounds, and about 30 to 35 years old. He was wearing a red Chicago Blackhawks hat, black leather coat, black pants, and purple shoes. Tips can be left at the Crime Stoppers hotline by calling 423-TIPS. Information that leads to an arrest will be rewarded with payments of $500 or more. Hitting pregnant woman. An argument about paying bills and apartment clutter resulted in a Decatur man punching his pregnant sister, according to police reports. The alleged attack happened at 10:13 p.m. Sunday at a home in the 700 block of West Main Street. The suspect, 20, claimed he was also kicked in the leg and he didn't know his 19-year-old sister, who also sustained a small cut on her upper lip, was pregnant. He was jailed on a preliminary charge of aggravated battery to a pregnant victim. Two-vehicle accident. An 18-year-old Decatur woman suffered minor injuries in a two-vehicle crash at 85th Street and Sefton Road, east of Mount Zion, according to the Macon County Sheriff's Office. At 3:45 p.m., officers were called to the scene, where a 2013 Chevy Silverado, driven by a 68-year-old Lincoln man, pulled out in front of a 2005 Chevy Aveo, driven by the 18-year-old Decatur woman. The driver of the Silverado stopped at the intersection, then pulled out, saying he didn't see the Aveo. The driver of the Aveo was treated at HSHS in St. Mary's Hospital for bumps, scratches, and bruises. The driver of the Silverado refused medical treatment. He was ticketed for failure to yield the right-of-way at a stop intersection. Accident kills man. A 38-year-old Kincaid man was pronounced dead Sunday morning after the vehicle he was driving left the roadway and overturned in a field. A person passing near the scene told police at about 9:30 Sunday that a man was lying near a truck near 1400 North Road, about 2 miles south of Kincaid. That was 9:30 a.m. Emergency medical personnel found Derek M. Kunze, K-O-U-N-S-E, unresponsive and called for the coroner, according to Amy Calvert-Winans, Christian County coroner. A preliminary investigation indicated Kunze was traveling east when he lost control of his vehicle, went into a ditch, then into a field. He was thrown from the vehicle and died from blunt force trauma to the head and body, the preliminary investigation showed. He was not wearing a seatbelt. The Christian County Sheriff's Office and Coroner's Office are investigating the case. A toxicology report is pending. On the opinions page, we find a letter to the editor of Local Interests. On behalf of the Board of Directors, staff, and 1,800 recipients of program delivery from Webster Cantrell Hall, we would like to thank the many individuals, churches, foundations, businesses, and groups in our community and beyond for their ongoing support of our organization. I am delighted to share that the generosity and thoughtfulness during the holidays by so many was inspiring and compelling. The number of gifts received by those we serve increased beyond our wildest wishes. It is unfortunate that the reality for most of our young people we serve is that they do not have families to spend time with at Christmas. While this is terribly sad, the generosity of our community is greatly valued and appreciated by them all, and they are overly grateful for the love and gifts they receive from total strangers. While smiles are not always possible for most, the holiday season was much more enjoyable than expected. I wish to also share with the community that we set out on November 7th with an ambitious goal for our fundraising campaign of raising $100,000 in donations. On December 31st, we had received donations totaling $122,824.04, which is quite remarkable. Again, please know we greatly value and appreciate the community's ongoing support and generosity of our organization, and thank you so very much for thinking of us. With funding at the state level, Being an ongoing uncertainty, your support is integral to the important work that we do 365 days a year. For those wanting to know more about WCH, please access our website at WebsterCantrell.org or please call me at 423-6961. All donations to Webster Cantrell Hall are tax deductible. Happiest of New Year's. This letter was signed by Martin Harris, CEO of Webster Cantrell Hall. We have time in this segment for a letter to Abby. Here's what the first writer has to say. Dear Abby, in the beginning of our marriage, there was physical abuse and marital rape. I stayed anyway. Over the years, we had two children. My husband, Seth, and I don't communicate because he has refused to talk about any issues we have. During the last few years, my youngest son has also become physically abusive to me. I tried to leave many times but failed until last December, when, because I had a heart attack, I finally moved in with my family. I did it for the sake of my health and my sanity. Seth now wants to talk about our issues. He suggested that I come back home. He has several medical problems, so I was taking care of all the household chores and working two jobs. My children will not help with the chores unless I scream and yell for hours. I no longer love my husband. He wants to romance me and try to make me love him again. He's also very controlling. He feels I owe him a chance to prove that he loves me and can change. Am I wrong for leaving and letting go? I'm very confused. Letter signed, Letting Go in Florida. Dear Letting Go, you owe this man absolutely nothing. If you allow Seth the chance to romance you into coming back to take care of him, you will wind up exactly where you started. Your son abuses you because that is what he saw his father doing, and you allowed it. If you stand your ground now, it will show your son that abuse is not to be tolerated. I hope you will teach him that lesson because it is an important one for him to learn. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the January 10th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.